Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a spiritual warfare podcast. I'm Steve Hemphill, and our website is active-faith.org. Our goal is to take back territory, expel evil, and heal through spiritual growth. Today, the topic is prayer and scripture are weapons. This Battle Plan episode is one of several in a series on spiritual weapons available to all Christians. I've discovered over 70 weapons in all, so come along for the ride as we evaluate these together and improve your ability to fight Satan's advances on your life. The idea here is to keep adding weapons until what you're praying for begins to happen. You might even think of some I haven't discovered yet, so let this series encourage you to be creative as you make personal progress against your unseen enemies. Welcome back to weapon number 6 in our list of spiritual weapons, prayer plus oil. Now, so far we've covered prayer, scripture, prayer plus touch, prayer plus fasting, and prayer plus watching. So we're ready for number 6, prayer plus oil. We'll start with Genesis 35:14. Jacob set up a stone pillar to mark the place where God had spoken to him and anointed the pillar with olive oil. So Jacob anointed the rock where God spoke to him. Then in Exodus 29:4-7, they were instructed to present Aaron and his sons at the entrance of the tabernacle, anoint him by pouring the anointing oil over his head. So priests were anointed with oil. Exodus 29:36, each day you must sacrifice a young bull as a sin offering to purify them, making them right before the Lord. Afterward, cleanse the altar by purifying it, make it holy by anointing it with oil. So altars were anointed with oil to make them holy and used for God's service. Then we'll go to Exodus 30:22-25. The Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, and he lists them, myrrh, cinnamon, calamus, cassia, 1 gallon of olive oil to make a holy anointing oil. So in this case, God actually gave Moses a formula for anointing oil. Then Exodus 30:26-29, it says that they were to use this sacred oil to make things absolutely holy. So God's special formula for anointing oil that he gave was making items absolutely holy. In fact, they were so holy that if anything else touched them, they would also be holy. So to use the sacred oil to anoint. After this, whatever touches them will also become holy. Very interesting. Then we see kings were anointed with anointing oil. 1 Samuel 10:1, Samuel anointed Saul as king. He took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head because he appointed you to be ruler. So he was set apart for the special purpose of ruling God's people. So the oil appointed people this procedure for a special possession or a special purpose for God. Then we have 1 Samuel 16:13, Samuel also anointed David as king. Samuel took the flask and anointed David. And in that same passage, anointing oil invited the Holy Spirit. As soon as he anointed him, the Holy Spirit came on David, and it brought God's power. It came powerfully on David, and it also was to set him apart. Among his brothers, he anointed David as the one, so it set him apart. And it marks as God being present there. Anointed David and with the oil, and the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day on. So from the moment of the anointing, God was present in David's life, and it marked him for God's power. Okay. Anointing oil also brings honor. Psalm 23:5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by what? Anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. So this anointing oil brought honor. It was a symbol of bringing honor. And then in the New Testament, in James 5:14, if they were sick, they were to call the elders to come and anoint them with oil. So anointing oil in the name of the Lord.
One of the personal stories I have about this, we were looking at that verse in one of our small group studies a few years back. A very good friend of mine, Lloyd, I think he was 92 at the time, was in the process of having a heart valve transplant. And we read that verse at one of our Sunday night sessions, and he was within days, about 10 days, of having this valve transplant. And they'd already diagnosed the problem. They'd already measured the size that it needed to fix this problem, to replace it. And he had to go back in for one more doctor visit before he went to the Dallas area from East Texas to have the actual transplant. And when we read that verse together in our small group, he kind of cornered me after that was over that night and said, "Do you think that the leaders of our church would come and invite God into my life by anointing with oil? Because I wish I didn't have to go through this, and I'd like to see if this could stop it or change it." And I said, "Well, I know they would, because they've done it before." And he said, "Would you come with them?" And I said, "Well, sure. If you want me there, I'll be there." So it all got lined up. We all went to his house. It was a Sunday night before his last Monday morning appointment, and then he would head into Dallas to do the transplant on Tuesday. And we all got around him. He sat in a chair in the middle of his living room floor, and everybody prayed. I prayed with them. We prayed for healing. And the next morning, he went in for his checkup before going to Dallas, and they said, "Well, it turns out you really don't need a transplant. You just need a change in your medication." Now, if you want to, you can say, "Well, that was just a bad diagnosis, or that was good luck," or whatever. But I'm going to give God the credit. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of giving God too much credit rather than not enough. And we did what the scripture says. That verse goes on to say, "And he will be healed." And we saw that happen that time. God doesn't always answer every prayer yes, but he certainly did in Lloyd's case, and he lived many more years. Luke 4, verse 18, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news." See, an anointing is also a marking as a separation for dedication to God's purpose in preaching the gospel and sharing the good news with people. One of the places where I spoke on spiritual warfare was in North Oklahoma. And during the service that Sunday morning, I noticed a couple on the second row that were very involved in what I was saying. And I saw some tears coming down the face of the wife. And when it was over, she came up to me quickly and said, "Thank you so much for having the courage to talk about these things, because this is real and we're ignoring it. And it's given Satan, more opportunity to do more bad in our lives. But 40 years ago, when my son was only 11 years old, he started having bad dreams, nightmares. Back then, we called them night terrors. And it was every night at exactly 3 a.m. on the clock, and he would wake up screaming in terror, and I would have to get up, pick him up. He's 11 years old. I'm picking him up and holding him, and his feet are almost dragging. I go to the living room, and we sit in this soft rocker, and I would rock him, and the only thing that would calm him down when this happened every night was for me to sing church songs. We'll talk more about worship as a weapon in a later episode, but church songs would calm him down. And so every night he would wake up at 3, I would go in and pick him up, rock him, calm him down, sing to him church songs, and put him back in the bed, then I would go back to bed. And this went on for many weeks, and I was exhausted, and he was scared to go to sleep. And finally, one night, after I calmed him down and put him back in the bed, rather than going back to my bed, I went back to the chair, and I sat down, and I began to pray. And I said, "Lord, please tell me what to do. We can't keep this up. He's scared to go to sleep now, and I'm exhausted." And as soon as she prayed, something came to her. She knew what to do. She went to the bathroom and got some oil, and she anointed every window and every door in her home, and he never had another nightmare. And I've had quite a few people tell me that when they anointed their home, their doors and their windows, the bad dreams stopped for the kids. It's another form of markers on the land, as we've been discussing. Now, in Mark 6:13, we see a kind of a new aspect of it, which ties in with the story I just told you. It says that, "And they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil." So somehow the goal of demon removal was aided or helped with prayer plus anointing oil. Another interesting story came to me. I had one of our Christian colleges. I have some connections, and I knew the guy that was the floor dorm daddy for a certain, I guess it was the whole dorm at one of our Christian colleges. And he heard about what I was teaching, and he came up to me and said, what you're talking about is real. People just are trying to ignore it. He said, one semester after about 2 weeks of school, one young man came to me and he said, I need to change rooms. I need a new room. And he said, I told him, we don't have any spare rooms. You're in a room by yourself, you know, but there's not an empty room to move you to. What's wrong with your room? And he said, well, I don't know how to tell you this, but it's haunted. Every night when I try to go to sleep, as every time I doze off, something wakes me up. I haven't slept in 2 weeks and I'm just exhausted. And so they prayed and anointed. It had one window and one door. They prayed and anointed the window and the door, and he never had another nightmare in that room. Again, markers on the land still works. So let's pray about this. Lord, from a human standpoint, it's sometimes hard to understand how simple oil can make a difference in finding freedom from our demonic enemies. But help me to trust your instructions and obey them in spite of the fact I don't understand how it works. Sometimes, Lord, I just need to obey your commands without fully understanding them. Help me to have that childlike faith that you desire. In Jesus' name, amen. Next time, we'll cover weapon 7, which will be prayer plus confession. And let me remind you to keep praying because prayer works. God loves you and I love you. Have a great day.